Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday the 8th of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Dean Arcuri. Tonight on the show, we'll hear from the Northern Territory's Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, who today apologised to the Territory's gay and lesbian community who were affected by laws criminalising homosexuality. Also, we find out about Australia's outstanding 50 LGBTI leaders who were unveiled last night in Sydney as we explore the importance of visibility in the corporate sector and what this diversity means.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
It's never too late to say sorry. And today, that's what happened in the Northern Territory Parliament when Chief Minister Michael Gunner delivered a formal and moving apology to people convicted under historic gay sex laws. It's a historic apology for many in the Territory's communities who were convicted or lived their lives in fear that being out of the closet meant being arrested. Sex between consenting adults should never have been criminalised, and this apology is an important step towards righting the wrongs of the past. All other states and territories have introduced similar bills, with Western Australian government currently considering a bill like this. And while the law may be a thing of the past, we shouldn't undervalue the tolls of laws such as this, restricting employment and volunteering and travel opportunities for more than three decades for some, as well as the stress and deep grief and personal shame of those affected. Chief Minister Michael Gunner said this in the Northern Territory Parliament earlier today.
Today is about saying to our lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual, intersex and queer community, we were wrong. Laws criminalising homosexuality were wrong. Laws criminalising love and attraction were wrong. And historical convictions stemming from these laws were, are, wrong. Today, we pass laws so that these convictions may be struck from personal records. Madam Speaker, it is about making right. But how can we truly make right for lost opportunities? Things like jobs, careers, travel, all those things that require a clean criminal record. How do you make up for the shame? How do you make up for a kid growing up feeling unworthy, unseen, unheard, unwanted? Or how do you make it right for the family split apart? Or the parent who wore the tears of their perfect son? Or the parent who had to bury their perfect son, the perfect brother, the perfect uncle, a perfect nephew, a perfect father, perfect friends, lovers, partners, lost to demons of our own creation? You can expunge historical convictions, but there are some things you can never make right. All we can say is, humbly, deeply, honestly, sorry. As Chief Minister, as a local member, as a Territorian, I am sorry we sowed love with shame and fear. I'm sorry that such a beautiful, diverse, and welcoming place as the Northern Territory, filled with amazing people who will share their lives and homes with strangers, that you were forced to live secretly, closed off, underground. On behalf of the Northern Territory Government, I am sorry. I hope today goes some way to easing hurt wrought on LGBTQI territorians, as it was and continues to be wrought on your communities in this nation and around the world. I hope it will go some way, just a modicum. I hope these words today will radiate beyond this assembly, because, Madam Speaker, words are powerful. Words are powerful. Like in the Criminal Law Consolidation Act 1876, which the Territory adopted from South Australia and used all the way until 1983. Tucked in between laws about kidnapping and incest is this: whosoever shall be convicted of the abominable crime of buggery committed either with mankind or any animal shall be liable to be imprisoned for life with hard labour. The brutality of that language, the abominable crime of buggery, the equating of homosexuality with bestiality, this was the law of the land until 1983, within most of our lifetimes. The brutality of that language, more so the brutality of the message, you are not worthy, you are not welcome, you are an abomination. I hope these words today, which I offer humbly, deeply, honestly, are more powerful. We are sorry. You are worthy, always have been. You are welcome. You are seen and heard. You are valued Territorians. Madam Speaker, there are people alive in the Northern Territory today with wrongful criminal convictions because of wrongful Northern Territory laws. Some have convictions which were handed down even after 1983, because it was another 20 years until the age of homosexual consent was lowered to 16 in line with heterosexual consent. A Darwin man who asked to stay anonymous told us recently, "I was 17 and living with an older man. We lived in constant fear of him going to jail. And that was a relationship that lasted 15 years, not some fling." I know a lot of people who were held back in jobs and their careers because of their convictions. There was an awful shame because of the convictions. A lot of people were taken on very mundane jobs somewhere, and you're talking some brilliant, gifted people, all because they got caught expressing their love somewhere. It would be nice if they were alive today to hear their apology. End quote. Madam Speaker, many people have passed since those laws. They never got their expungement. They never got their apology. To the families, to the friends, to the final confidants, I say sorry. It is a feature of these new laws that you can apply for posthumous expungement. Let this be some comfort. And if the memories of your loved ones are marked with the hurt or shame brought by Northern Territory governments, let this moment, this new memory, these words I offer today, find some countering place alongside the old. Madam Speaker, we don't know how many people with convictions are out there. We don't know how many people still alive will step forward to have their conviction struck from the record once this bill is passed. Likewise, we don't know how many suffered in secret. We don't know how many men refused treatment for HIV out of shame and fear of ostracism. This is our shame, not theirs. And Madam Speaker, we don't know exactly how many people left the Territory for safer and more accepting communities in places like Sydney or Melbourne. What contributions have we missed? What a better place the Northern Territory could have been for their unrequited contributions. What ideas, businesses, industries that could be powering this place right now? What leaders have we missed? What artists? What entrepreneurs? This is the Territory's loss. Madam Speaker, the historical laws we apologise for today, the convictions we can now expunge, predominantly relate to men attracted to men, but discrimination radiates. State-sanctioned discrimination spreads through government and societies like a cancer. It propagates. It affects schools, workplaces and government agencies. It poisons. State-sanctioned discrimination, as it was in the Northern Territory, at worst encouraged, at best accepted, the exclusion of Australian citizens based on their sexuality and gender identity. And I want to be clear, many LGBTQI Territorians, young and old, have had nothing but positive experiences here. No outward discrimination, no harassment. But Madam Speaker, not all, not everyone. Annie Zon came to the Territory in 1980 and found a government openly hostile to same-sex attracted women. I quote, "There was this jingoism at the time about what it was to be a Territorian, and what it was to be a Territorian was not to be a lesbian. Sometimes when they were arrested, they were quite brutally treated by police, physically manhandled, verbally insulted, told they were dirty lesbians and they should leave town, and they were hateful creatures, that no one wanted them here. It was intense and unrelenting harassment." A dossier compiled over just a couple of weeks in 1980 by one of these women gives an insight to the near daily harassment. It talks of women being followed, of others being stopped and questioned at length about things like their place of residence and even eating habits. It talks of funding being cancelled for the Rape and Crisis Centre, of vehicles being confiscated, of evictions, of being dragged out of licensed venues and being slapped and punched. It records a response by an officer to the woman's complaints. "If you don't like the laws of this state, then leave. We are going to run you all out of town." To Annie and those women, humbly, deeply, honestly, we are sorry. We can say it was just the times, and it was the times, but it was also a failure to lead, to listen, to find compassion, to govern for all people. Governments have a role in setting culture, setting standards within a culture. On this measure, on this issue, Northern Territory governments have failed. Today we change the law. Today we apologise. But also through these actions we set down some fundamentals. We, elected representatives, are here to lead. We are here to prosper this incredible place we call home with every citizen as equal partners. We are here to set examples for others to follow in our laws. Yes, but also our words, because words are powerful. For the Northern Territory to prosper as a place of inclusion, equality and justice, then this place, right here, with us as its custodians, must be a beacon of inclusion, equality, justice. These are the standards we affirm today. I also want to acknowledge government's role, however large or however small, in statistically higher rates of mental health issues among the LGBTI community. And I want to acknowledge government's role in further marginalising our most marginalised citizens, LGBTQI First Australians. People like Crystal Love Johnson, who before becoming the first sister girl ever elected to a council, watched and experienced unspeakable acts of violence because of who she was, who she is. We came and imposed new laws on First Australians. We forced new beliefs. We broke ancient social and family customs that accepted and absorbed difference. To people like Crystal, for the government's role of perpetuating discrimination, humbly, deeply, honestly, we are sorry. State-sanctioned discrimination explains something of the prejudice still existing in our society today. As recently as the early 2000s, Daniel Alderman, a champion of LGBTQI rights in the Territory, remembers marching with a dozen people at a pride rally and having water bottles thrown at them by people sitting at a pub. He remembers, quote, "horrific stories," end quote, of police harassment. To people like Daniel and all those harassed by government and government agencies, we are sorry. I'm proud to say Daniel marched in last year's Pride Festival with about 1,500 people, including police, including the Commissioner of Police, and no one threw water bottles. Australia has come far. Later this year, I'll be a proud brother at my sister Lucy's wedding. To her long-time partner, Jill. The Territory has come far. And for this we owe much to the people who suffered, mostly silently, when their sexuality could land them in prison or their gender identity could have them shunned. We owe much to the places where communities gather to heal, mobilise and grow proudly. Places like Dix, Pianola Palace, Throb. We owe much to the people who were not silent. They were the visionaries. They stared discrimination in the face and refused to accept that our brothers, sisters and friends did not have the right to love and be loved. They fought and argued and stood up and began to erode a discrimination entrenched so deeply it was codified by law. They refused to accept that another generation could live with the shame, self-loathing, missed opportunities of the past. When the government looked to break down, they built pride, self-respect, solidarity. They are the heroes. Many would shun the term, but who I'll put on the record are such nonetheless. People like author, researcher, historian, activist Dino Hodge. Thank you, Dino. Sister girls Crystal Johnson and Bree Curtis. Restaurateur and publican John Spellman. Co-founder of the Darwin Pride Festival, Sim Lee. Job Hobson, who led the fight in the Red Centre. Gail Warman and Annie Zon, who fought and won services for women. Daniel Alderman, Gary Lee, mentors, performers and charity workers, Sian McLaughlin, Ben Gratz, Miscellaneous, Caitlin Perry and Star Lady. There are so many more, including past and present champions and allies of the LGBTI community. To all these people, humbly, deeply, honestly, we say thank you. To my team, to my parliamentary colleagues, to the people of the Northern Territory, to the people in the gallery from organisations like Rainbow Territory and Darwin Pride, to those listening to the broadcast from Alice Pride, Catherine Pride, LGBTI Territorians and their allies from the top end to the desert, to the east and the west and across our borders, I say, this is not the end. This is only another page in our book. I say, let's finish the job. Let's finish the job. I don't want a situation where future chief ministers or future NT premiers are compelled to apologise again. I vow to always stand with you, one with you, because we should all be equal before the law. We have to be ever vigilant. You only have to look at America right now and the vilification meted out by US legislators on the trans community. We have to remain ever vigilant, and we still need your strong voices. Let's work together to remove the last vestiges of homophobia and transphobia from our laws and lead so that it is positive policies, program and language radiating through our agencies and communities into our streets, into our workplaces, into our homes and casual conversations. Let's work together so government is a force for inclusion, not discrimination. Let's work to unite families, not divide. To celebrate our differences like we do so well in the Territory, to plant positive messages in our children, not fear, judgment or stereotypes, to befriend, not ostracise, to be compassionate, not cold, to love humbly, deeply and honestly. I am sorry.
An acknowledgement that things were wrong all those years ago can still mean so much. Expungement cases will be reviewed by the Attorney General's Department Chief Executive and authorised people will be able to apply on behalf of those who have passed away. The audio for the Northern Territory Parliament earlier today, where Chief Minister Michael Gunner apologised to the Territory's gay and lesbian community who were affected by laws criminalising homosexuality, was from ABC Darwin's Facebook page.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Last night at Google Sydney headquarters, professional service firm Deloitte and Google Australia announced Australia's outstanding 50 LGBTI leaders to further develop workplace inclusion and create role models for LGBTI workers. The list includes 24 women and 26 men, including two transgender business leaders and an intersex leader, with leaders from Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Canberra, Perth, Darwin and Adelaide. I spoke to Robbie Robertson, a partner in Deloitte and the national lead for the LGBTI community within Deloitte, about their 50 outstanding leaders and the importance of highlighting diversity within the business world. In 2016, Deloitte released Australia's first list of 50 LGBTI executives, with the purpose of providing visible business role models to LGBTI Australians of all ages. This year, Deloitte collaborated with Google to celebrate our outstanding 50 LGBTI leaders of 2018, recognising that millions of Australians work in non-corporate roles and within creative industries. Announced last night, with LGBTI leaders from various backgrounds from around the country, beyond traditional large corporate organisations, the list of the 50 names was made public, highlighting 50 individuals who are out, proud and kicking goals in their fields, whether that be the public sector, government and small to medium-sized businesses or traditional corporate roles.
About 2.5 years ago, one of my colleagues, Andrew Cumberledge, who was working in tax, he was from the UK originally. He came over here and really noticed there was a real lack of out leaders, out LGBTIQ leaders within business. And he had seen a similar process or similar kind of awards process in the UK and just was like, this is crazy that we don't have some sort of process or recognition to allow our out leaders to be able to be, to shine and to be put forward so that the community can go, that's what success looks like, and one day I'll aspire to be that. So we decided to connect with our CEO, Cindy Hook, and he said he was very confident and sent her an email. And in the meantime, he'd also actually sent an email to Alan Joyce, and he said something similar and said he would like to put together the list, and would Alan be supportive of that? And I think both Alan and Cindy were a bit taken aback by the confidence of Andrew, and said, you know what? Absolutely, that sounds like a great idea. So Cindy got behind and said, hey, listen, let's get Deloitte behind this. And she then worked with Alan. And I believe Alan was very instrumental in helping Andrew come up with the names of the first kind of 10 to 15 members or identified leaders for the first list, which was in 2016. That's how it started. So there was 50 recognised in the 2016 list, and that list was developed with the AFR and was actually published on the front cover of the Boss magazine, and it was actually their hero story for December. And they decided not to take that forward into recreating or updating that list in 2018. So Deloitte and Google came together and said, you know what, we actually really believe in this. We believe that this is something that will really benefit our emerging leaders and people within the business community, not just at the top end of town, but also across kind of all areas and aspects of business, public sector, small business and large businesses. So they decided to shake up the kind of criteria of what they were looking for, and they were able to pull together the amazing list that we obviously got launched last night and we have to talk about today.
Role models are looked up to by those around them, and this list is quite an impressive one. Within our communities, often we see advocates receiving such recognition and don't often appreciate what it means to be out and proud and leading within your field in a different arena. Last year's conversations around the country for LGBTI equality changed what it means to be out in the workplace, which is also still an environment that many struggle to be themselves in. So this kind of visibility is so important on so many levels, to change not just people's hearts and minds, but the cultures where we spend a large portion of our time.
There's a really strict criteria that the team were looking to try and find who were those leaders in all areas of business and also in all areas of the country. We would really recognise that these leaders are not just in Melbourne or in Sydney. They're in Darwin, they're in Brisbane, they're in Adelaide, Perth, they're all over the country. And that was a really big component for us to ensure that we found those leaders and we gave them the opportunity to be recognised in their local communities and use this as a tool to be able to highlight to their communities that you can be out, you can be gay, and you can be successful in business regardless of where you actually reside.
At the List launch event at Google headquarters in Sydney last night, the 50 names were made public, and Robbie was there.
It was actually really exciting, and there was a lot of pride in the room. And there's a lot of people coming along, and just to recognise that they wanted to be with their peers and meet other people. And there were a lot of people meeting people for the first time, which was great. But there was also a lot of friendships, people that knew each other and they were getting together. And the conversation was pretty clear around, great that we've been recognised, but what can we use this for? We have this platform. How can we use that to help us to start conversations or to shift the dial within diversity and inclusion within the workplace across all organisations, not just the ones that are being represented here today? So it was really exciting to see last night with so many of our female members of the community were there and that were so proud and excited to be there. One of the things we recognised or highlighted last night was that there was 24 women on the list and there was 26 men. So we got pretty close to gender parity in terms of recognising those leaders in the business. And it was some of the stories that we heard around the intersectionality of the different areas of their complexity of being yourself within a business world and allowing that to, and how you break through those barriers to make sure that you can really recognise and be yourself in those roles and just truly be an advocate. Like there was a great story around the design leader within Google who's trans. And, you know, that's often a story we just don't hear, even within our community. And so she was very powerful. And then we heard from David, who's an electrician. And, you know, and he has a very successful loan electrician firm. And all his tradies are obviously from a very heterosexual background. Yet he is so successful because he's got such a focus on culture and inclusion. And that just creates a really great place to work.
We often forget about the importance of this kind of visibility in the corporate sector and the importance of acknowledging this diversity and intersectionality in professional fields. The 2018 Outstanding 50 list embodied those who, just by being themselves, encourage others to bring their best selves to work. Because just by being you, you can make a change to the working culture for us all.
You know, I think one of the questions that a lot of people are asking is, where do we go from here? What are those big agenda issues or conversations that you want to use this platform for? And one of the things that we were hearing is, what do we do after marriage equality? You know, this conversation is not dead. We've still got so far to go in the community to ensure that we really do get complete acknowledgement and acceptance. And unfortunately, there's still pockets of resistance, particularly in the business community either industry sectors or companies who may be more conservative in their perspective or out in their view, and they don't recognise that diversity and inclusion is actually good for business, not just something that they have to tick a box for. And I think that's what we're hoping to see over the next few months is these leaders coming together to have those conversations, to identify how they can help, and then to put some programs in place to bring that to life.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.